I'm Kathy Miller, professor of medicine at the Indiana University School of Medicine in Indianapolis. Welcome to this edition of Medscape Oncology Insights, coming to you from the 2014 San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium. The treatment options for local regional therapy have been evolving over the last several years, and many of us, including myself, have found that a little challenging to keep up. So I brought in today a dear friend and colleague, Dr. Richard Zellers, Associate Professor of Radiation Oncology and Molecular Radiation Sciences, and Associate Professor of Oncology at the Johns Hopkins University of School of Medicine in Baltimore, and soon to be my colleague as the new Chair of Radiation Oncology at IU, to go through some of those new data with us. Welcome, Rich.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So let me take you back a few years when, for the medical oncologists in the crowd, radiation therapy was simple. You gave whole breast radiation to our patients who had a lumpectomy, and I only bothered you for post-mastectomy radiation in women with inflammatory disease, four or more positive nodes, or a primary tumor greater than 5 centimeters. Who needs post-mastectomy radiation today in 2014 or 15?
So those were simpler times, weren't they?
It made things easy, and it has been a little confusing. So I am often uncertain who to refer to you.
There's still some uncertainty, but I think there's a lot less today than there used to be. Just to back up a little bit, the really neat thing when you think about it is some of the earliest randomized trials in all of oncology were evaluating post-mastectomy radiation. These trials date back to the 40s. However, looking at all those trials, they saw pretty much the same thing with respect to local control. Radiation improved local control across the board. However, they did not see an improvement in overall survival.
I'm going to guess in the 1940s, those trials by today's standards were probably pretty small, probably underpowered to look at overall survival?
No, they tended to be small, but most importantly, they were old radiation techniques, and they did not have the benefit of chemotherapy for these patients. Mm. So now we fast forward to the 80s, and we have three trials that are started, all using pretty current radiation techniques for the time. All patients receive systemic therapy, either chemotherapy or tamoxifen. And when those studies came out in the 1990s, what we saw was that not only was there a local control benefit, which again was not a surprise, but there was also a survival benefit with the addition of radiation.
That I think was hard for medical oncologists to understand, and I think sometimes hard to accept. You know, those trials, if they're going to look at overall survival, have a pretty long timeline. Mm-hmm. The radiation and the chemotherapy techniques were standards for the 1980s. Mm-hmm. A lot changed in systemic therapy between the 1980s and the 1990s. Radiation techniques have continued to evolve as well.
So if you look at those three trials that came out in the 1990s, there were two general critiques of them. One, as you mentioned, is that the systemic therapy used at that time was mainly CMF, and that's not considered standard today, or overwhelmingly the standard today. And the second complaint was there was an issue with the local failure. If you look at those patients who had 1 to 3 nodes, they had a much higher rate of local failure than one would expect, somewhere around 33% at roughly 5 to 10 years. If you look at retrospective analyses of current trials, the local failure rate in patients with 1 to 3 nodes was roughly 15-13%. So there was this disconnect, and that caused a lot of people to not have faith in the results with regards to the 1 to 3 nodes. However, we have newer data that really calls into question that concern. We've had the meta-analysis from the early breast cancer trialist cooperative group, which have shown in the last 3 reviews that there was a breast cancer-specific survival benefit with the addition of radiation in the 1 to 3 node groups. We've had reassessment of those post-mastectomy trials that came out in the 90s, looking at a more select group, a group that had a more extensive nodal dissection. As you remember, that was a complaint. And there was also a survival benefit in the 1 to 3 node groups. And now we have some newer trials, most importantly probably MA20, Canadian trial, which they randomized patients who had breast-conserving therapy mainly, 1 to 3 positive nodes to radiation to the regional nodes or not. And in that study, there was also a disease-free survival benefit seen as early as 5 years, which is pretty new. We haven't seen the final results of those studies. So when you take those three trials, the redo of a couple of those trials, and the Early Breast Cancer Trialists Cooperative Group, I think patients with 1 to 3 nodes should at least have a discussion with the radiation oncologist about the potential benefit with regards to survival.
I mean, there's a pretty consistent story that additional radiation as part of the local therapy, almost regardless of the type of surgical therapy, seems to have some improvement in local control and overall survival.
And I think the real hero of the story, I would love to say it was radiation, but I think it's also the benefit of chemotherapy. These patients in the older studies did not have the benefit of chemotherapy, so they most likely died of systemic disease before they had a chance for the local therapy to make an improvement in survival.
So the other really controversial area in local therapy, and one that I think we've seen a bit of a shift lately in enthusiasm, is partial breast radiation. It's almost a departure from what we've been talking about. We've been talking about increasing radiation. This is decreasing radiation, irradiating less breast tissue. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, there was a big enthusiasm for partial breast radiation, so much so that enrolling patients on randomized trials
was a little difficult.
Those trials, thankfully, have finished enrollment, and in the last couple of years, we've started to see some results of those trials that I think put a damper on the enthusiasm. Where are we with partial breast radiation now?
So it's important to remember there are several different ways to deliver partial breast radiation. The most common way is external beam. The probably second most common is intracavitary brachytherapy, where they place a radiation source in the lumpectomy bed. And probably the third is intraoperative radiation therapy, where the radiation is delivered at the time of surgery. So there are two large partial breast irradiation trials that have been presented. One has been published. One is the TARGET trial, with intraoperative radiation therapy, and the other is the Elliott trial from Italy, which was also intraoperative radiation therapy. The Elliott trial showed that those patients who had whole breast radiation did significantly better than those who had partial breast irradiation with regards to local control. So on a whole, one would say that's a negative trial. The authors point out that if you remove certain high-risk groups, that the outcome would be better. So they basically conclude one needs to be very careful about who they offer partial breast irradiation to. The TARGET trial was published, and that is a little bit more of a difficult trial to really read. It's been published a couple of times with varying follow-ups. Many people believe that the follow-up is not long enough. And in that trial, as a whole, there was a higher rate of local failure in the partial breast group. However, those authors said once you remove the high-risk patients, the local failure is acceptable. So again, they point to the fact that these studies basically come to the same conclusion that one needs to be really careful about who they offer partial breast irradiation.
I always worry about those subset analyses. It strikes me as almost having a negative trial of a systemic therapy and then finding a subset where it looked like it worked. We also saw an analysis of, I think it was a Medicare claims database that suggested additional rates of mastectomy. And I think the database didn't allow us to really know if more women went to mastectomy because of failure of local control, or was this a toxicity, infection, cosmesis problem.
Right. So that analysis of the Medicare data, they show that those patients who had partial breast irradiation were twice as likely to have a subsequent mastectomy, twice as likely to be hospitalized, and twice as likely, I believe, to have an infection than those patients who had whole breast irradiation. Now, the overwhelming technique presumed to be used in this population would not be the intraoperative techniques of which we just discussed, but the intracavitary brachytherapy technique.
So those would be things like the Mammocyte or the Savvy
or the Contour
device.
Yes. So that paper really caused, I think, a lot of people to step back and reevaluate. The idea is a fantastic idea. We can treat only part of your breast. We can decrease the number of treatments. So you can get done sooner, and you may have less toxicity since we're treating a smaller area. It's a great idea. It's something that's deserving of study, and it has been studied. I don't think we have enough evidence now to say that that should be the standard of care.
So the B39 study, I think, is
the big one that we're really claiming
is the definitive study of this. I don't think results of that are coming for at least a couple of years. So
exactly.
In the interim, are there patients that you would maybe still offer partial breast radiation to?
So I think ideally any patient being offered partial breast irradiation should be offered on some sort of trial so that we can learn from these patients and will give us information to help future generations of patients. Outside of that, the very lowest risk patients could be considered for partial breast irradiation. That would be your elderly patient, small tumor, ERPR positive, wide margins, standard low risk category.
So I have to take you to another local therapy area.
Okay.
We talked a lot about partial breast and about what to do with the chest wall. I used to know what to do with the axilla as well. Our surgeons took out the axillary lymph nodes and that was done.
Mm-hmm.
They now do less and you do more. When do you think about axillary radiation instead of axillary surgery?
So that's a huge topic. So let's tackle sort of the easy one, those patients who are receiving neoadjuvant chemotherapy. So those patients who have had, we've had two studies, different countries, very similar results, basically showing that if someone is clinically node positive or pathologically node positive before neoadjuvant mm-hmm. chemo, and they go to surgery and a sentinel node is done, you can trust the results of a sentinel node if two or more nodes are removed or you use two different types of tracers.
Now that's a departure because in the early sentinel node days, it was widely listed in guidelines that if you were known to be node positive or you had neoadjuvant therapy, sentinel node was off the table. So both of those have changed. If you're clinically node negative, a sentinel node biopsy is now okay.
If given that those criteria are met, more than two nodes and or double tracers.
Two tracers. Mm-hmm. And those results are accurate, so you can trust the results.
Yeah, which I think is a win for many women.
That's a huge win. We used to have days where women who needed neoadjuvant therapy would actually go to the OR, have a sentinel node biopsy, come back and get their chemotherapy, then go back to the OR again for their breast surgery. So we can now make that patient flow easier. What do you do with the result? How do you decide which of those patients needs axillary radiation?
So in the non-neoadjuvant
or in the neoadjuvant setting, you just told me if they had 1 to 3 positive nodes, mm-hmm. you'd want to see them. They did have a positive node. I made it go away. Do you still need to see them?
If the nodes are negative, there's varying information about what to do. There's basically two camps I like to consider. There's the NSABP camp, which analyzed their neoadjuvant chemo trials, B18 and B27. And they basically show that if someone is node positive before and they're node negative afterwards, their rate of local regional recurrence is fairly low. So you probably do not need to treat them comprehensively if they have a mm-hmm. mastectomy. The MD Anderson data is a little bit more categorized. So their data basically shows that if you have less than clinical stage three disease at diagnosis and you're node negative afterwards, the post-mastectomy radiation probably will not be of much benefit. However, if you're clinical stage three, and especially clinical stage 3B, there appears to be a clear benefit of radiation even in those patients who become pathologically node negative with chemo. So those are the two basic camps I like to discuss. However, we have two great studies now open, one especially to answer some of those questions. NSABP B51 is directly approaching this question about what to do with the node negative axilla after neoadjuvant chemotherapy. And in this trial, women are randomized to comprehensive nodal radiation or not. So this is an excellent trial. It will help move the field forward greatly.
So in our last few minutes,
sure.
Maybe the more common situation, a woman who goes directly to the OR for primary surgery, has a sentinel node biopsy, has 1 or 2 nodes with microscopic involvement.
Mm-hmm.
Should they have axillary surgery? Should they have radiation? Should you do both?
So that's right. So we have the great Z11 study, which looked at women receiving breast-conserving therapy. Those with node, who were sentinel node positive, were randomized to axillary node dissection or radiation or nothing, basically. And they show that the outcomes in these two groups were the same. So Z11 concluded that an axillary node dissection is equivalent to a sentinel node biopsy in this select group of patients. However, when we reanalyzed, or when the data was reanalyzed as Z11, we found that many patients actually received axillary node radiation.
We were shocked. Radiation oncologists cheated.
Cheated is a strong word. I would say
made the fields generous, shall we say?
They were overcome by concern for their patients. So they felt uncomfortable doing that, and so they enlarged their fields to cover the low axilla, which was what everyone was concerned about. But actually, there was an additional field added in almost 20% of those patients. So it really causes us to step back and think, well, can we trust the results of Z11? Additional information has come out since then. We have a large study in Europe that looked at sentinel node biopsy alone versus axillary node radiation, and the outcome was the same in both those groups. So that study sort of argued that, you know, they're probably similar, but I think the really exciting result comes from MA20, mm-hmm. where they looked at patients, all of whom had an axillary node dissection, and half received regional radiation, the other did not. And this study, again, reported a disease-free survivable benefit in those patients who had an axillary node dissection and radiation, as opposed to those who had only an axillary node dissection. So looking at MA20, one would argue that both arms of the Z11 were inferior treatments. Mm. However, Z11 has not been published fully, and we don't have much information about the patients to really make a better comparison. And of course, there's always the caveat when you try to compare the results of two completely different studies.
So there's still obviously tremendous work to do.
Absolutely.
On individualizing local therapy. So before I let you go, Rich, mm-hmm. The meeting at San Antonio is still going on, and some of the results have not yet been reported.
Sure.
Are there any local therapy trials yet to come from this meeting that you're looking forward to, that our listeners should be looking for as well?
Absolutely. There's a huge one coming out where they're looking at DCIS score and see if that is really predictive of outcomes. So that should be presented in the next day or so. So we're eager to hear the results of that study.
So stay tuned, and thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us in this edition of Medscape Oncology Insights. This is Kathy Miller reporting from San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium 2014.